Hello, and welcome to People Profit Planet. This is our second episode of the semester. My name is Christina Anderson, and my co-host...
Alejandro Galeana Salinas.
Yes, and today, well, I'm a little bit sick, so sorry about my voice and my conditions, but today we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the sustainable initiatives that are going on around campus, as well as bringing it a little bit globally and talking about some global initiatives that have been happening recently. So, to start off, I'd like to go ahead and talk about our recycling and compost ambassadors. So, you guys have been to different events that we have on campus, when we have dining services out on the quad. When you go and throw away your food, it's always, you're always greeted with someone, you know, trying to show you, like, where to put your food. So, you know, trash, compost, or recycling. And that is brought to you by the Office of Sustainability. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to make this be a little bit... we're trying to make this be expanded, so we're offering our services to a lot more places, so that means we need a lot more volunteers. So this year, we are actually going to start having people sign up to be volunteers for this wonderful event. Of course, bring in incentives to do this as well. So if you just need, I know a lot of sports and clubs, you might need, or even if you're in Celts and like Bonner Scholars and such, you might need volunteer hours. So this would be a great way to volunteer, learn about sustainability, learn about recycling and composting, and get a few volunteer hours. So Alejandro, what is Kayla's email? Do you know Kayla's email? I forgot who to contact about that. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let me look it up real fast.
No problem. While she's doing that, some other incentives to become a volunteer is you will definitely learn how to recycle, how to compost, and what to throw away in trash if you do this. I know after doing it for, you know, a few events last year and then working in recycling, I kind of have it down to a T pretty much. Another incentive for this is, you know, you actually get to like meet a lot of people as well and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And... Yep. Yeah, because, you know, you're face-to-face, you know, cooperating with people and things like that. And also, we are working on creating a T-shirt for that, for the volunteers. I'm sure there's going to be maybe some, you know, some type of regulation. You know, like, if you do it, like, 5 times or something, you'll get a T-shirt or something like that. And I've seen the sketches, and they're looking pretty rad.
So awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for the T-shirts. And hopefully, maybe even at the end of the semester, we could do, like, a whole, like, dinner for everyone who mm-hmm. decided to be a recycling and compost ambassador, because this is a really big part of our campus becoming sustainable. Mm-hmm. So this is a great way to even just get involved more with the Office of Sustainability. It's a way to connect with people. It's a really great opportunity. So if you are interested in this, you can contact Kayla Barber. So her email is Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A, _Barbour, so B-A-R-B-O-U-R, @berea.edu. So she would be happy to sign you up for any events. There's a big calendar, so it can work with your schedule as well. It's not saying, oh, come here at this time. It's like, hey, these are the events we're having. These are the times that we need volunteers. And if, you know, you have spare time, if you'd like to volunteer with us, what time would you be available? So it's definitely very accommodating.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one big part that we're doing at the Office of Sustainability, but this is a little bit outside of the Office of Sustainability. As you all know, I did entrepreneurship for the public good over the summer, EPG for short. And throughout the year, this is not just like a summer event. It definitely is if you want to become a part of the Institute. But throughout the year, we do different conferences and different trips. And this is our first and one of the only trips that I know of about this semester. It's the Nashville Social Entrepreneurship Field Trip. So you guys probably got an email about this in your emails. So Let's see. We are... Let me just read what this flyer says. So, it's at the crossroads of social justice and entrepreneurship. It's a sponsored travel, so you have to apply to actually be able to be on the trip. You can learn how people are making a difference in Nashville, and you can even get inspired to start your own project. So, applications are due September 12th. That's next Monday, I believe, at 11:59 a.m. We're going to be choosing people based on their application later on that day, and you'll find out if you were chosen to come along with us the following Saturday, or Friday and Saturday. So it's a great weekend in Nashville, learning about these, like, really cool social enterprises. So we're going to start off with, like, a tour around, like, the Music City with Nashville ELF. And it's a company that's creating solar-powered bikes to promote clean energy. So you're probably thinking, like, why is a bike solar-powered? Like, I know that's something that Alejandro just asked. He's like, don't they self-propel? And it's like, yes, they do. But in hillier areas, I've actually seen these within, like, places like San Francisco and stuff like that, where it's very, very hilly. And, you know, people don't really want to... I mean, some people don't necessarily want to ride their bikes up really huge hills. So that prevents people from using a more sustainable method of transportation if they don't want to use public transportation. So this is a company that's making solar-powered bikes. So, you know, you would bike it like normally when it's easy, and then if you were to go up like a really huge hill, there's a solar panel included in the bike, so it like it propels yourself like up the hill. So I'm really excited to see what that's about. We're also going to be visiting If I Had a Hammer. It's an organization reinventing how math is taught to children. I have no idea what that's going to be about, besides that it's reinventing how people teach how math is taught to children. So that could be really interesting for anyone that's interested in child development and education. So definitely come if you're interested in that. And then we're going to have lunch at the Thistle Shop Cafe. This is a restaurant supporting Thistle Farm, and it's a community of women who have survived prostitution, trafficking, and addiction. Wow. So the actual woman who started this social enterprise was actually a victim of, I forgot which one specifically, but prostitution, trafficking, addiction, one of those. She decided to start this cafe herself, and the women that work there, she's employing people who are suffering from, or who have suffered from, these women who have survived these terrible conditions, and it's, you know, giving them a livelihood in this area, as well as supporting a farm, so that's sustainable as well.
That's really awesome.
So this is just a really great event if you're interested in learning how, I mean, here at Berea College, we have a great liberal arts education, so we're learning about all of these social justice issues, and this is a really great way to bring it, to kind of bring it home and see something that someone on a smaller level is making a change somehow and impacting society. So another thing we're going to do is we're going to be meeting with Poverty and the Arts. This is a social enterprise which provides opportunities for the homeless or formerly homeless artists. So homeless people trying to promote the arts among them. And people who are homeless and, you know, are formerly artists. I'm not actually sure what they're going to be doing with that, but that sounds really interesting. And then we're going to be visiting Humphrey's Street Coffee Company. This has been able to provide jobs and mentoring services for youth throughout South Nashville. So that seems really cool. So at the end of the day on Saturday, we're going to be learning how to make your ideas into action at Refinery Nashville. This is a space in Nashville. There are these kinds of spaces all throughout Kentucky as well, but they're basically like innovation stations. So if you have an idea for a business startup, if you have an idea of how to like create change through a business, you go to these places and there are experts hired. That, you know, are hired by, like, grant money to teach you how to change or how to, like, change your idea and make it a reality instead of just saying, oh, you know, I'm going to do this. Like, oh, that would be really cool. It's actually teaching you the steps on how to actually make it become a reality, and that's a big part of creating social entrepreneurship. So right now on this flyer, it says that we are going to be departing at 4 p.m. on Friday and returning at 8 p.m. on Saturday. So that is still enough time to do a little bit of homework before the weekend is over. So you guys should definitely check out the application that's in your emails, and the applications are available at tinyurl.com/NashvilleBerea16. So it's sponsored by Entrepreneurship for the Public Good, or you can contact Tran at TRAN_NGUYEN at Berea.edu if you have any questions or concerns about this event. But I'm really excited to attend. Part of my job is to recruit people to actually come along with this. The reason I get to go is to recruit more people to come along with us mm-hmm. that aren't necessarily in Entrepreneurship for the Public Good, trying to get word out to people in our classes and over the radio show. So any listeners that are students here at Berea College, definitely check this out. I believe that's all I have for the more localized. I know Alejandro has a story that he'd like to share. So what are you doing in your life with sustainability?
Well, since I came to Berea, sustainability has been pretty hard. I used to be like, oh, recycling, sure, sometimes, you know, or like, oh, recycling's good, I guess. You know, but then I got here and, like, I started working at the office and I started hanging out with ag majors and sense majors, and it's like, whoa. Yes. And then I went on a mountaintop removal tour, and it really just, you know, brought it all home that, like, this is very important, you know, just being sustainable in everyday life, you know, mm-hmm. as far as you take it or as little as you do it, you still have to be sustainable at some point, you know. And so I know that my roommate and I, like, agreed before we came back that we were going to do some sustainable things, you know. So, like, right now we have a couch that we essentially upcycled, you know, like, someone mm-hmm. was going to throw it out and I was going to be, you know, left in a landfill. So we took it in, I loved it in my bed, and now we have a couch, you know.
Took it in like a dog.
Yeah,
like,
took it
in. We decided to take it in.
Exactly. We feed the couch. But yeah, so now we have a couch that was upcycled and diverted, you know, from a landfill. So that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And also my roommate brought some spearmint and some other type of mints and lemongrass. Things like that, nice. And in pots, and so we're growing those in pots now. You know, just sunlight and water, man. Like,
that's all it takes.
And yeah, we use it for our teas and stuff like that. So yes. That's another way of being sustainable. We also have like a communal box of things. Like, he'll bring bananas and apples or something, or like I'll have something that I won't eat. You know, like mm-hmm. like I don't know, canned mac and cheese or something. I don't know. And we'll put that in the communal box, you know, like, whoever, mm-hmm. it's there, you can take it, mm-hmm. you know. Sometimes we'll have people over, and they're also invited to do that, you know. Nice. But, yeah, like, and also, we got some art supplies that we're going to be throwing away, and now we're going to make art with it and use it to decorate cool. our room and stuff like that. So, yeah, okay. just little things, you know, about, like,
yeah.
you know, diverting from landfill and recycling and upcycling and reusing things. You know, I know that we reuse, you know, you can't really escape. I mean, you can escape plastic bags because they're just everywhere, like Walmart, Target. But, you know, what we do is we try to reuse them as much as possible because I know that we don't have something that can recycle those plastic bags. Although they are, we don't have anything here at Berea just yet. So yeah, if you have any plastic bags, try to reuse them as much as possible. And if you can't do that, you can also return it back to Walmart or return it back to Target, and they'll do it for you, because Berea can't, unfortunately, as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my little, you know, my little spiel on how yes, I've changed little bits and pieces of my life. Yeah.
Yes, that's actually very, like, inspiring. I guess I'm the president of Fairchild now.
Really? So, like, what?
Yeah.
That happened.
So I'm the president of Fairchild now.
Sweet.
So I believe, like, that would be so cool, because I know there's a lot of money being allotted to different, like, events on mm-hmm. like within the dorms. So
yeah.
I guess I might, you know, discuss it with my, like, hall coordinators and stuff like that. But, you know, events don't necessarily have to you know, end at one night. It could be something that we do as, like, a community. So that might be a really cool project to maybe work on. Like, maybe having, like pots with, like different herbs that the entire, like, dorm can use, and having a centralized location saying, like, if you don't use your plastic bags, here's a place where you can, you know, put them. And because this isn't necessarily supported on a Berea standpoint, so it's like we have the recycling program, so it's easy for people to do individually, like, oh, I'm relying on Berea to recycle this for me. Mm-hmm. But even if it's an initiative, like, within your own room, or for me, maybe making this become, like, an entire dorm where we've decided as a community to make a centralized location. Because I know there are places, there's usually, like, a big, like, cardboard box. And I've seen this in other dorms, too. There's a big cardboard box, like, either on each floor or, like, in the lobby where it's, like, clothes and things that you don't need anymore. So instead of throwing it away, people are actually, like, just giving it away for free. And I mean, eventually at the end of the year, it'll get, like, donated to Goodwill, or, you know, whatever happens to it, but it's giving people that opportunity. So possibly that would be really cool to see if maybe we could have, like, a planting potting event and then, like, establishing something so we can have a centralized location where we can collect plastic bags in my dorm. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Very inspiring.
That's
cool.
Almost forgot. I also have, I bought a trash can and he bought a trash can.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, we're going to use yours as a trash can and we're going to use mine as a recycling bin.
Yes, I do the same thing.
Yeah. Like, it's, you know, it's the little things.
Yes.
You know, by the end of the year, you will have, like, recycled probably at least 50 to 100 pounds of just stuff that would have made it to a landfill, you know, your cans or your plastic bottles, you know, all that stuff. So it's super important, you know.
Yeah, and I know that's one of the things that we have to look at when we're talking about recycling and stuff, like, within our dorms. Like, it can be, it's not necessarily hard, but it's just another step that makes it, like, kind of, like, oh, I'm not going to recycle when I can just throw this away and take it all out at once. So, like, what I do in my dorm is I have paper bags that I've used from other things. Like, my roommate went to, her family went to Cracker Barrel, and they had a huge, like, brown bag left. So I'm like, this is our recycling bag.
Nice.
So we're putting all of our recycled stuff in it. And because, you know, it's hard to, it's not hard, it's just, you know, another step you have to take to truck it outside. Because I know I haven't taken out the trash since, like, school started. So, if we're real honest, it's just, you know, there's so much going on, and it's, like, the cleanliness of your dorm is something that's sometimes hard to keep up. So, just one way to separate it, because I know last year I had, like, bottles and stuff everywhere, and it was just, it was a mess.
Yeah.
So, having a centralized location, that's really good. So,
yeah.
That's cool. Within your own dorm room. Good ideas. And I do have little plants in my room, but they're
not
used for anything. They're just little plants for, like, little pet plants.
Nice.
So.
Let's play some music.
Yes, let's play some music. Let's see. So, I'm going to play a request from Alejandro, MGMT Kids. So, here we go. And we are back. So, what I'm going to start talking about, we kind of decided to change our idea a little bit over the break. So, this is still not necessarily global, but it is very much a national topic that's going on right now. It is the Keystone, I think it's the Keystone, it's a pipeline that's going, that's working on being made through, I believe, what state? Do you know what state it is? I think it's like going, Montana?
Yeah, Dakota as well.
Yeah. So it's starting in on this Native American reservation. I don't know if it's a reservation or it's just this property that's owned by Native Americans. And they're essentially protesting the establishment and building this pipeline because they know that this pipeline is going to ruin the waters of, like, their drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really hot topic right now. So, mm-hmm. Do you have anything to say about it, Alejandro?
Yeah, just a correction. It's the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Access Pipeline.
Yeah,
okay.
Dakota Access Pipeline. Although the Keystone Pipeline was also a thing that was happening approximately, you know, within a year ago. So we are seeing this, you know, this privatization of essentially land, mm-hmm. you know, that does belong to the Native American people. And now we're seeing, you know, we're seeing them going back, them being like the U.S. government going back on those treaties, you know, and, you know, putting profit over the people, which is not okay in any situation, of course. We have seen this historically, and it's happening again. And it's going through, I believe from what I've been reading, it's going through their, again, their territory, which is also going through their water systems, like their streams and their rivers. And these streams and rivers give, you know, they're literally...
That's their water supply.
There's a water supply, and, you know, their supply for life. You know, that's where they plant and, you know, feed their livestock or, you know, like, make their livestock drink or whatever. And I think I definitely read it was literally in the hundreds of thousands. Like, people would be affected. Like, this is hundreds of thousands of people's water source. So definitely not okay what's going on. And I remember seeing that, you know, many of these protesters are very peaceful and... there were private guards essentially mm-hmm. that were hired, and some of those guards released dogs on them, and you know they were biting like women and children and you know men, you know, because they're protesting the the pipeline. That's not okay at all. So that is something we definitely have to bring awareness to on this show, as mm-hmm. as we are, you know, people profit planet, and we have to mm-hmm. care about our own, you know, and our own is, you know, what's going on in the United States. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, these are our comrades.
And this is something that I feel like could easily be overlooked because just because they are, like, minorities.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, that's another thing. There's a documentary coming up, the documentary Nerve. So mm-hmm. I know we've mm-hmm. talked about how here... in Madison County, we stopped the incineration of government like chemical weapons mm-hmm. here. But one of the parts of that documentary is that it says, "Well, I met with what is his name? The guy that is in the documentary. He talks about how he there." The same thing, there was another location that was going to be put in an extremely African-American, like, extremely concentrated African-American community, but there was nothing that they could do. And, you know, that didn't hit the headlines or mm-hmm. anything. So it's very important to see the crossroads where environmental activism and the issues that happen within our minority communities, mm-hmm. like, cross, because we have to support part of... that's environmental racism is definitely a thing.
Yeah.
We're much more likely to put a big pipeline through a community that, you know, people don't necessarily, like, pay attention to, or their voices aren't being heard. So this is a great way for their voices to be heard.
Yeah, like, they're not going to be putting it through Beverly Hills or anything like that. Like, they're not going to put this, you know, this pipeline through Vegas or anything like that.
Yes.
Oh, no. Like, they're going to put it, you know, through reservations, which is mm-hmm. horrible, you know?
Yep. This is not going to go through the backyard of any Fortune 500 company's backyard,
mm-hmm.
you know? it's definitely going through theirs, and it's a matter of a lot of different elements of it's a lot of different elements coming to play, but it's very important to be aware of what's going on within different environmental communities. So that was just one really big topic that we really wanted to bring up today. I believe I was looking on Facebook to just look at, to, you know, become more aware of some of the just headline facts, and it looks like they actually stopped after the massive protest. The oil company agrees to halt the Dakota pipeline. So I believe that's a really big thing. But what you were saying earlier about what we saw is that we're almost out of time, but a lot of people are taking this the wrong way and saying, you know, they're destroying jobs, but it's like they were destroying their water.
Yeah.
Like, and if you really care about essential to life.
Yeah, and if they really cared about jobs, you know, they would be investing in sustainable jobs for, yes, you know, like you were talking
for
about
the future.
Yeah, seriously. Did we talk about Portugal, or was that
we have, like,
just
no a time? But okay, we're going to talk about Portugal and some other stuff that's going on next time. So keep watching us.